reading for this morning that we're going to use is from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And this is what it says. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat from any of the tree, or shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden." We're in our series that we're calling Back to the Basics, Back to Basics. And over the next 5 weeks, well, actually, last week included, we're going to be looking at essentially four themes, finishing up with the fifth week being something that's kind of brings it all together, okay? Last week, we talked about creation. Today, we're going to be talking about the fall, not summer, fall, the fall. And I'm going to explain about a little bit more about what that means. Next time, we're going to be talking about redemption. Then the next week, we're going to be talking about restoration. And then I'm going to kind of bring that all together. That's kind of my plan right now. Let me say a prayer. You're catching us at an awesome day. If it's your first time here or something, man, today's a great day to be here. And I think I know where we need to go today. And we're just going to see what God wants to do, okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now and we just, we calm our hearts and our minds. We recognize that there's a lot of things that are going on in our lives, Lord. And we desire to just be settled here. So calm us, create within us a calm, and allow us to just hear your word as you speak to us, Lord. God, I pray for myself that you would just help me to kind of slowly move out of the picture and that I would just be your instrument here. Let my words be your words and really not a word more and not a word less than what you want us to hear this morning. Let that be said. We pray this boldly. Boldly in Jesus' name. Amen. So where I want to go this morning, I want to start by just asking this question. Have you been following the news on some of the things like the Molly Tibbetts? So a young girl that got murdered in Iowa about a month ago, and they just kind of found her body here recently. Have you followed that? Have you followed like the Chris Watt story where the guy, and I'm trying to be cautious here. I know there's kind of littler kids in the room, but I also want to make sure that you know if you've not been following. There's a guy that's had kind of murdered his family, and recently they were kind of watching that, and they found that out. Did you see in the news the state of Pennsylvania came out with charges against church leadership in the state of Pennsylvania where there's a bunch of abuse that's been taking place, okay? For some reason, those three news stories have been on my mind a lot in preparation for this message. And coming out of this text, that's just, those things have been on my mind. And so if you're not aware, just that's all I'm really talking about today is something that's just incredibly terrible, okay? So, I mean, we can all come up with that. So you didn't have to have been watching and know anything about that. Those are just the three, like, from this past week that are on my mind a lot. And I'm looking at this story, these stories of just terrible things, like to the point where I'm cautious of how I talk about it because I want to be sensitive, okay? And just terrible, terrible things. Truly evil things that are going on. And I think every single one of us in this room would actually be like, yeah, evil. Like, terrible things. I mean, I don't care if you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, if you come with some other thoughts or some other thinking or something like that to our church this morning, which that's good. I'm glad you're here. But I think we would all agree there's like evil in the world. And you see this stuff playing out and you're just like, what the heck? And I mean, I just feel like more and more details come out too, more like right now on news. And so we learn more about what actually is going on. And it's like, what? I don't even know. Like, how do you interact with that? How do you hear that? Incredible evil that's out there. Do you guys feel that? And just last week, the fact, I don't know, our praying over the kids and going back to school and stuff, and the things that our minds go to now these days. You know what I'm saying? Adults, right? And you're just like, what the heck? It's just incredible evil in the world. And we see it all over the place, whether it be wars. I mean, now we have access to wars just by watching that. Just like click on it, and there's a war going on somewhere in the world. Wars all over the place. Racism all over the place. Right? And we just see these like white supremacy groups that are just all over. And racism amongst all sorts of different groups that you see play out. Like, I'm just looking at like the murder of millions of babies in abortion. Millions. Every year. Evil. Like the abuse of the land, the abuse of animals, incredible evil that's out there. Shootings, all this stuff, and it's just constant. And if you watch the news at all, you see it. It's like it's every night. And so this idea that there's evil in the world, that I think every single person would actually agree with me on that. There's evil. There's terrible things. What is that? Well, it's interesting because here we actually see in our text this morning, we see the serpent. We don't know a ton about the serpent. We know some about the serpent, but we're not going to get into super kind of detail on this particular text. But the serpent comes, and the serpent says things like, the serpent says, essentially asks a question, doesn't she? Doesn't the serpent ask Eve the question, did God really say? Now, that question still is posed today constantly by people. Did God really say? Then it's followed with temptation where the serpent comes to Eve and says, no, you won't die. You will be like God. Knowing good and it's kind of fascinating because this is the word I'm kind of looking at today, evil, or in the Hebrew, ra. Tov, good, ra, evil. You will know good and evil. You will be like God. And then it's followed up by what? By Adam and Eve falling to this temptation. And what do they end up really doing? Well, they're disobedient to what God's word had said. Ultimately, they rebel, and this is a really key word for me, they rebel against God. They rebel. They say, we know what God has said, but I'm tempted to be like God. And all of a sudden, evil begins to kind of manifest itself more and more and more. And we start to see it play out. And all of a sudden, literally, there's this desire for more. This is what happens here. There's this desire for more than what God had originally created. There's this desire for more than simply the good creation that God has set up. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, he says this. Check this out. I got to quick get to my note here. Listen to what he says. C.S. Lewis says, money, poverty, ambition, war, prostitution, classes, empires, slavery, the long, terrible story of man trying to find something other than God which will make him happy. Now, if you haven't read C.S. Lewis, you got to go check him out. C.S. Lewis is a beast, okay? A good beast. A good beast. But this desire to be like God. And then the effects of this sin, the effects of this sin begin to play out, don't they? For the wages of sin, Romans talks about, the wages of sin is death. Elsewhere it says, for we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? See, it almost moves to a place of like proof that there's evil in the world. How do we know there's evil in the world? People die. For the wages of sin is death. People die. People have been dying for a whole long time. There's going to be people that die a long time in the future. The wages of sin, the effects of sin is death. And we see it happen all around us. And it's literally passed down from Adam and Eve, and already we see their two sons. Remember the story of Cain and Abel? And Cain and Abel are the sons of Adam and Eve. And they go out, and Cain actually ends up murdering his brother Abel. And then you just see it as you go through Scripture. You just see the manifestation of evil all over the place. And it's all around us. We see it all the time. As man tries to be like God in rebellion against God's word. And we see it play out. But this is the safe part of the sermon. See, this is the part of the sermon where everything so far has been actually okay. Right? There's a sense in which that part of the sermon, evil in the world, evil exists, we can handle it. We know it to be true. Everybody would agree. It's all over the place. But then we ask a very interesting question. And this is the part of the sermon that gets me really excited. I've been excited to teach this all week long. The question we ask when we begin to encounter evil is the question, why? Right? Okay, so let me show you. So Molly Tibbetts gets killed, brutally murdered. We find out who the guy probably is. We don't know for sure, right? But we find out who this guy probably is, and we ask the question, why would you do that? Right? We ask that question. I did. I'm asking that question. And it's like, why would you do that, man? We follow this Chris guy in this I'm just going to call it the family kind of situation, right? What he's done to his family, and we're looking at it, we're like, why? And you got the Facebook videos they're putting out, right, of like the family's all good and everything's okay and they all loved each other. But then there's this terrible thing that we're engaged with. And we look at that and we're like, why? How could you do that? Why? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book, Creation and Fall Temptation, he says this. Listen to this. This got me this week. Listen to what he says. The question of why evil exists is not a theological question. Watch this. For it assumes that it is possible to go behind the existence forced upon us as sinners. So hold on. If we could answer it, then we would not be sinners. We could make something else responsible. I'm going to show you this in a second. Therefore, the question of why can always only be answered with the that which burdens man completely. Ah, that's by the way, brilliant. Okay. And I know I've had a lot more time to digest this and think about it, but Dietrich Bonhoeffer, what he's saying is this. He's saying, why do we ask why? Why do we ask why of that question? When we engage with somebody like Molly's situation, when we engage with this situation of Pennsylvania coming out, church abuse scandal, and we start to, I need to know why. I saw it happen all week long. They're coming out already. More and more and more, they're giving us why. Chris is probably, they're saying, this is what they're saying. Okay, I'm not saying this is all true. I'm just saying, they're saying he's probably having an affair. He was having an affair. Stuff was going on. And as soon as we know that, what do? We say, oh, that's why. There's stuff going on in his life that's happening. And so, oh, that's why. Why would this guy murder some runner on the road? And we start, oh, okay, that's why. One of the newsreels was fascinating to me. It was literally saying, we're shocked, but authorities are not that shocked because he's really coming across as, you know, kind of psychotic. We shouldn't be shocked. We're shocked, but we shouldn't be because now we know why. Why would church leadership be abusing? Why would it be abusing its power? Oh, okay. They're not allowed to get married. That's why. We do this all the time with evil. But what Dietrich Bonhoeffer here is saying, he's saying, no. All you're trying to do in asking the question why is distance yourself from it. Because as soon as you're able to identify why, then you're able to say, I would never do that because that's not me. We try to push evil away. And it's closer than you realize. Oh, snap. Hashtag boom. Come on, folks. I know this is a lot to teach, especially in a back to basics, right, sermon. But check this out. Why ask why? So we can figure out how it would never be us. So we can figure out, okay, well, I'm not having an affair. I'm not doing that kind of stuff. I'm not psychotic, so I would never do that. I'm not, you know, an illegal immigrant. Some of that's being said about the Molly Tippett say. I'm not a illegal immigrant. I would never do that. I'm not this. I would never do that. And we distance ourselves. Watch this. Talking about the Holocaust, where terrible things happened, evil, right? Every one of us would agree, evil took place, terrible things. This is what this guy says, Raul Hilberg, who's a historian on the Holocaust, says this. He says, this tremendously tragic act of evil was simply the result of ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Ah! Do you get how crazy that comment is? Do you get how close that becomes to us? See, why would they do that? Oh, economics were terrible things. Oh, of course that's not us. We would never do that. Really? This book has fascinated me this past week. Trauma and Evil by Jeffrey Means. He says this. We push evil outside of ourselves by lodging it in evil people, in quotes, who are then summarily dismissed en masse as if they have no relationship to the rest of us. More importantly, we mislead ourselves into believing we are somehow immune to evil being lodged in ourselves. Holy smokes. I don't know if you see where I'm going with this, but we try to dislodge evil. We try to get it way over there. I would never do that. What is evil? not why, evil, remember that quote? It's just, the Christian looks at evil and just, it happened. It's happening. Now what? This question now is, well, what is evil? What is evil? And Adam and Eve begin to show us really clearly, evil is rebellion against God. It's hurting other people. When God comes to Adam and Eve, what's the first thing they do? They start blaming each other. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. It ain't me. The serpent did that to me. You, Adam did that to me. Eve did that to me. And it's rebellion against God, and it's hurting other people. What is, I'm not trying to come after you. I'm not saying these are things that are unforgivable. I'm not. I'm just going to identify a few things here. Help me. See? We've looked at something like divorce. No biggie. And you know how I know our culture says divorce is no biggie? Go type in Google sometime, divorce, and how much it costs to get out of it. You know what you'll see? In this area, $128. And I know in other areas you can get her down to 50, 40, 30. Just think of the kinds of things that we do. Think of how much you have showed your kids. You've showed them that this is more important than they are. You've literally done this. And you've showed it to them. This week has been a very hard week for me. Which I hope it's a hard week for you, to see the evil that's actually closer to you than you realize. His thoughts. This is what Jesus, when he comes on the scene and he says, yeah, you always talked about adultery like this. I say, you even look at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery already in your heart. Evil is closer than you realize. You get that? So look at Mark chapter 7. This is actually an incredible passage to me. Mark chapter 7 says this. This is Jesus talking here. He said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. This is why I get very nervous about any kind of teaching that turns inside of itself. Because what is Jesus saying you'll find? Evil. Evil. Say, oh, evil's all out there. Oh, that killer. That person out there, those evil people, those terrible people, those Germans, those dot, and see, this entire sermon is kind of a setup to try to actually come back around and say, well, wait a second. What about you? What about the evil that's in your own heart and your struggle with it? What are those things that are coming out of you that defile you? Not out there, not asking the question why, so that you can get off the hook. Because I don't meet any of those standards. Nope, that's not me. Well, maybe it's closer than you realize. Ah, I love this. There's a story in the Bible. There's a story in the Bible about a guy who looked at everybody else, but was missing it on the inside. You know what the story is? Well, there's probably a bunch of them. But the one that I was thinking about was Peter. The night that Jesus is betrayed, Jesus starts to lay out what's about to happen. He says, hey, listen, I'm gonna die. And all of you disciples, you're gonna leave me. And I envision Peter in that moment looking at the disciples and thinking to himself, why are they gonna do this? Why would you run away from Jesus? Why? You bunch of morons. This is Jesus here. And what does he say? Peter says this. He says, listen, Jesus, though they will fall, I get it. They're going to fall and run away. I believe you, Jesus. I will never fall. Is that your heart this morning? There's no evil inside of me. I will never fall. And Jesus says, Peter, buddy, tonight, you'll reject me not once, not twice, three times. It's closer than we think. And we have evil. There's comfort in this. I haven't been exactly how sure how to present this thought, but there's a little bit of comfort in that the most evil thing that's ever been done has already happened. See, the power of evil is so powerful. Humanity has so much of it infected in us that we killed God. We killed him. And we put Jesus on the cross. We put Jesus on the cross. And we put him to death. It's bigger than the atomic bomb. It's bigger than the Holocaust. We put God to death. He allowed himself to die for you and for me. See, this thought right here. He's closer. Evil is closer than we often realize. But this is, if there's one thing you tweet out, it's this. Evil is closer than we realize, but God is too. But God is too. As close as evil is to us, this is why this was so huge. This is why a text like Galatians 3:26, for those who've been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, is so huge. Because the question is, how close does Jesus want to get to you, O evil one? You who has things in your heart that are so wrong. How close does he want to get to you? You put on Christ. He wants to... That's how close he wants to get to us. The very ones who've put him to the cross, the very ones who've sinned. And I'm telling you, this past week has been hard as evil has kind of seeped out of me, and I've been able to kind of identify some things and see some things in action. It is so hard to think those things are with Jesus on the cross. That's what put him there. That's what he took for me. How close does he want to get to us? He comes into our world and puts on flesh and blood. The little baby in the manger who ends up going to the cross to take our sin, to take our brokenness, to take evil itself upon him, to pay the price for it. For those who would simply turn and trust in him. This is why I tell you what, guys, one of the most powerful stories is when Jesus comes back to Peter and basically restores Peter in saying, Peter, do you love me? This is after he's already died and risen from the grave. And he restores him. He's like, yeah, listen, there's forgiveness for you. This morning, we have done some terrible things. Come on, let's be honest here. Please, just get honest with yourself. Look in the mirror for a second. And I realize there's no way we're going to be like, this is show and tell right now. That's fine. I get it. I wouldn't want to have that moment right now. Okay? Well, let's all share what we've all done. No. But when we're honest with ourselves, we have thought some incredible things. We have done some incredible things. We have said incredible things. We have It's not just out there, all y'all. It starts right in here. And Jesus needs to take care of it. He did take care of it. That's why today it's so important that we turn to him. The one who took all of it upon himself on the cross. Think about that this week. Let's start thinking about it even right now as we just go before the Lord here. I want to go before the Lord in a time of kind of confession and just lay it out there before him. The Creator, last week, remember? The Creator, who we're dependent on. And now we're in a fall, we're fallen, we're broken. We have evil inside of us. Well, what? Who takes care of that? And it's in daily coming before the Lord, saying, Lord, I am sorry. So let's just do that now. Lord Jesus, we come before you right now. We just bring to you, Lord, all of the stuff. All of the stuff. Lord, I thank you for this teaching for me personally. I thank you for how this past week you have revealed to me evil things within my own heart and in my own life. Thank you for reminding me that apart from you, I'm screwed. I'm truly screwed. And Lord, I just thank you for that. Thank you for revealing some of those things to me. Lord, even as a child of yours, even as someone who you've laid claim to me and you've given me faith, and I thank you for that. Even with that, we struggle with this stuff. And Lord, as we look out at the world and we start saying things like, how, why? Help us to understand the deeper things that are going on there. And help us not to disassociate ourselves with evil, but to simply have our eyes opened to the real struggles each and every one of us has in this room. We all struggle with stuff, Lord, every one of us. It might be lust. Lord, it might be theft. It might be murder. You know, you're teaching, Lord, even if you hate a brother, you've committed murder. Jesus, your teaching seems so hard sometimes because you just reveal to us more and more and more the depravity of our heart and how broken we really are. So this morning, Lord, we just crumble before you. We just crumble before you again. I know I've crumbled before you this past week multiple times, and even now again this morning, we just crumble before you, recognizing our brokenness. And we turn to you, O God of the universe. And this morning, we just seek your forgiveness that you've won for us on the cross. God, we are so sorry. Saving us. Thank you for loving us even in spite of all this cursed stuff. Thank you, Jesus. And now let me just amen to that prayer. And then I just want to bring to you forgiveness that really Jesus has won for us. Your sins, because of what he's done for you, it's the cross. It's the cross is that big of a deal that it allows us to move to a place, even in this prayer, where we can receive again forgiveness, where we can receive again new life. And so this morning, just know that the power of Jesus, the power of the gospel, grace, mercy, all of this is yours this morning because of what Jesus has given to you. So turn to him in faith. Just know, live out this next week as if without him, you're screwed. Let that shape you and give, that change how you think about life, how you think about your life, how you think about the life of the world. So your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus has done for you. Just know that this morning. As far as the east is from the west, whiter than snow, which never works down here in Houston, but whiter than snow. You've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus.